172.
This old-time radio program was originally aired live, long before the advent of high fidelity. As a result, you may detect an occasional surface noise or volume drop due to transmission problems so common to old radio. We hope, however, that any variance in audio quality will not take away from your pleasure in listening to this, one of the all-time favorite shows.
Good evening, creep. Tonight, your Mystery Playhouse presents Inner Sanctum.
Greetings from the Phantom Recording Studio in the Pushcart District of downtown Transylvania, and welcome, fellow Halloweeniacs, to the Jack-O-Lantern Press podcast on the Weird Network, where we discuss monsters and Halloween. My name is Michael Piccarella, coming to you with a special bonus episode, Inner Sanctum, Murder Comes at Midnight. Tonight, we've dug into the archives here at the recording studio where the Phantom of the Opera put down on wax some of his biggest hits, and we came up with old-time radio gold. We present to you the full presentation of a true classic old-time radio drama. The show was called Inner Sanctum, and the episode, episode 283, is titled Murder Comes at Midnight, which originally aired on September 9th, 1946. Now, I wasn't alive during any part of old-time radio's heyday, but back in the early to mid-1980s, we kids got to experience the release of cassette tapes called radio reruns. In fact, at the head of the show, that opening little thing that where the guy is saying, this old-time radio program, that was from these tapes. They always had a number in the collection, and then they would give that little warning about the audio quality and all that. So that was why we played that at the beginning. But yeah, radio reruns. So I have a bunch of them here, and some of these tapes, like I have the Green Hornet, A Matter of Evidence. I have The Last Show Ever Aired. This was an Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy tape. I have The Lone Ranger, Journey to Adventure. Let's see, what else do I have here? Oh yeah, The Abbott and Costello Show, Who's On First? That was a classic. I have a Sherlock Holmes program. A Scandal in Bohemia. Let's see, Holmes at his best, 8/14/43. So that's when that one came out. Anyway, I have a bunch of these. So it used to be, you know, Spencer's Gifts in the mall. They had all kinds of, I'm sure people remember that store. It's a lot different now. Still exists. We have one in our mall here in Southern California, but it's a lot different then. And one of the things that you could get in the early to mid 1980s were these tapes. And I remember going in there as a family, my brother, me, my sister, my mom and dad, we'd go to the mall. I think my dad may have been like going to the cigar shop or something. And we had gone into Spencer's just to check out some of the cool stuff. And my dad found this rack in the store that had all these tapes. And the collection was called Radio Reruns. And in it were, you know, these series. And he's like, oh, I remember these from when I was a kid. And so he bought a couple of them. And one of them was the show we're going to play tonight. And let's see. I think the first one we got was A Shadow. It was Death from the Deep. It doesn't say what date was on this one. But the one we're going to play tonight, here it is right here. I have the tape. All right, let's go ahead and load this in the player. Now, by the way, this is the original tape recorder that we had as kids. This is a Radio Shack Realistic CTR-55 cassette tape recorder in all of its glory. This is the exact same tape recorder that we used to listen to these radio dramas when we were kids. I still have this thing. All right, so back to this Inner Sanctum show. This one was definitely one of my favorites. And this was cool for us. Now, obviously, we got home, we put it in the cassette player, played it with our dad, and you know, he would tell us about how he would listen to these on the radio. But at that time in our house, we had one TV. A little later, we had two, but that second one was in, you know, the master bedroom with mom and dad. But my brother, Tom, and I, we couldn't just watch whatever we wanted to watch whenever we please, like you can do now. But we did have our own tape recorder. And with these radio rerun cassette tapes that we had, we could listen to whatever we wanted to whenever we pleased. And it was pretty awesome because you would imagine these worlds. Like you saw these stories play out in your mind. And quite frankly, my special effects were far better than what we could watch on TV. Radio was kind of like TV and books getting together and having a kid. You got the best of both worlds. So you got performance, sounds, and music, and then you could use your imagination to picture what was going on. And I always liked that idea. Now, of all the radio rerun tapes we had as kids, as I said, this one tonight was easily one of my favorites. Of course, I know the Jack Lantern Press podcast is a show about monsters and Halloween, and while the Inner Sanctum mystery we're going to play tonight has no traditional monsters in it, nor does it take place on Halloween, humans can be their own type of monster, and the villain in this story certainly fits that bill. So what is Inner Sanctum? Well, it offered mystery horror anthology radio dramas based upon the Simon & Schuster book series. The first book in that series was published in 1930. The radio show began on January 7th, 1941, and it went until October 5th, 1952, with a total of 526 episodes. The show featured a tongue-in-cheek horror host who spoke in a mockingly sardonic voice with morbid jokes and playful puns, like what you'd come to expect from the Crypt Keeper in Tales from the Crypt. Adding to the mood was a spooky, melodramatic organ score that punctuated the horror host's dialogue. And I loved that horror host and that organ almost as much as the story itself. It's kind of like how you love the Crypt Keeper intros and outros and Tales from the Crypt. You almost anticipate those as much as the story. And it's certainly, that's what it was like on this Inner Sanctum. As for tonight's story, Murder Comes at Midnight tells the tale of a very average family who, one evening in their country home, receive a visit from the gentleman killer who just escaped the death house. Terror and suspense ensues. Let's listen to see what happens. Again, from September 9th, 1946, starring Mercedes McCambridge, Paul McGrath, and Lawson Zerbe, this is Inner Sanctum. Murder Comes at Midnight.
Good evening, creep. Tonight, your Mystery Playhouse presents Inner Sanctum.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host inviting you in through the squeaking door. I just left a friend of mine. He runs an all-night billiard academy near the cemetery. As after midnight, he uncovers the ghoul tables, but no rough stuff in his place. Now, he settles all arguments by arbitration. Simply lifts the shroud and points out they haven't a leg to stand on. Believes the old motto that a fiend in need is a fiend indeed. Now, dust off the edge of your chair, because that's where you'll be sitting for the rest of this half hour, and listen to Murder Comes at Midnight. This is the story of how one average family, even as yours and mine, spent a quiet night at their rented country house. A night of terror. As I said, the Cannings were just an average family, Harry was 29 and worked as a sound engineer for a broadcasting studio in the city. Ethel was 27 and had been a school teacher before she was married. Now she was kept pretty busy between writing the great American novel and taking care of Judy, her 7-year-old daughter. This was the first year they had rented a house in the country for the summer, and Ethel didn't take much to the idea of being alone even.
At first, I didn't know what it was that woke me. Perhaps it was because I was expecting Harry. He phoned that he was working overtime. He wouldn't be home till after midnight. I didn't like the idea of his driving 60 miles from the city at that hour. Or maybe it was just because I wasn't used to being alone with Judy in the old house. I got out of bed. I opened the connecting door to Judy's room. She was sleeping, quietly. I closed the door softly, went across to my window. Something had awakened me. What? Was it a sound I heard in my sleep? Or was it a premonition? I looked out the window. The night was dark with 1,000 secrets. Harry should have been home by this time. My watch showed a few minutes after 12. Maybe he'd had an accident. Maybe that's why I awakened. Some sort of telepathy. And then I saw the headlights. It was Harry. He was turning in our road. The headlights bathed me for a moment as he swung into our driveway. Everything was all right then. I'll be right down, Harry. Breathlessly, I raced downstairs to let him in. I was so happy I could cry. It was only then I realized what tension I'd been under, all because of my silly fears. I unlocked the door quickly. Oh, Harry, I was so worried.
Sorry to bother you so late, miss. Had an accident with my car.
Oh, I thought you were my husband.
Oh, sorry to disappoint you.
Oh, no, I'm afraid you can't come in. My husband isn't home yet.
Well, it won't be for long.
Oh, my heavens, you're hurt. It's your arm.
Hurt in the accident. I'm afraid it's broken.
Oh, you poor man. Here, sit down. Sit down right here.
Well, that's better.
Here. Your arm's so limp. Do you really think it's broken?
I can't tell. It's kind of numb.
Oh, dear, I feel so helpless. I don't know what to do. I took a first aid course during the war, but I don't remember a thing. Maybe I better call Dr. Schultz.
Oh, please, don't go to the trouble.
Oh, it's no trouble. The phone's right here.
I said no doctor.
But it's all right.
Put down that phone, please.
I don't understand.
Maybe you understand this.
A gun.
Put the phone down.
Who are you?
I'll ask the questions from now on. Your name's Canning, isn't it?
How did you know?
Name's on the door, isn't it?
Oh.
What kind of phone is that?
What do you mean?
Party line?
No, it's a private wire.
Can you dial, or do you have to ask the operator for the number?
No, you just dial.
Good. Push the phone over here to this side of the table.
Who are you going to call?
The phone, please.
You'd better get out of here before my husband comes home.
Oh. How do you think he'd make out in an argument with this?
Oh.
The phone. Thank you. Now step back a little. That's good, good. I have to put this gun down while I make my call, this arm of mine. But you understand that I can pick it up faster than you could reach it from there, don't you?
Yes, I understand.
I see. We'll get along all right. Oh, operator... Get me Plaza 99970. Yeah, in a hurry, please. Well, this is 864.
Please, after your phone call, you get out. Before my husband comes home. He's late already.
You wouldn't turn an injured man out of your house in the middle of the night. Oh, hello, Linda. That's right. I had a little trouble. I hurt my arm. Look, I think you'd better come up here. Yeah, and bring Fred and Doc Stetson along. No. Everything's fine. Won't be any trouble. I'm a guest to some very good friends up here. Canning's the name. Or you drive up Highway 26 through a court and turn right when you pass the first gas station. Huh? Just a mile from there. You ought to be here by 6 in the morning. There'll be a light in the downstairs window. Right, Linda. See you in the morning.
You can't stay here all night. You've got
to
go.
Shut up. What's that over there? Radio?
Yes.
It's pretty big.
It's a sending and receiving set. Harry built it himself. He's a radio engineer.
Hmm. Can you get shortwave police calls?
Yes.
Turn it on.
But I don't...
Turn it on.
No.
Well, you're getting brave, huh?
I don't think you'd dare to shoot me. It would be murder. They'd send you to the chair. Now, you get out of here. You call your friends and tell them to meet you someplace else. Now, there, I've opened the door. Now, get out.
Worried about your husband, aren't you? Afraid of what'll happen to him if he comes home now, huh?
I want you to go away. And if you don't go now, I'll run out and scream for help. There are other houses in this neighborhood, and somebody will hear me.
Oh, go ahead and run.
What?
I won't shoot you.
You won't?
I don't have to.
What do you mean?
You wouldn't dare to run out and leave your kid upstairs. That little red-headed kid with the cute curls. Judy.
How do you know I have a daughter?
Easy. The doll carriage over there.
How do you know she has red curls?
Maybe I guessed it.
And her name, too?
Turn on that radio.
All right.
Roadblocks, all junctions on Highway 26. All cars must be searched, every passenger positively identified. Officers are warned to exercise extreme caution. Though believed to be wounded, he's armed and dangerous. I will repeat, Arnie Bishop, known as the Gentleman Killer, escaped from custody on board the Allegheny Limited at 11 o'clock while being escorted to the death house at the state prison. He's thought to be heading north in the direction
of
the
Lord. Turn it off. Now you know who I am.
Arnie Bishop. You're Arnie Bishop.
How many rooms in this house?
6.
Fine. My friends and I will stay here for a few days. This will make a fine hideout.
What will you do when my husband comes home?
Don't worry about him. Now, suppose we go in the kitchen and you can make me something to eat.
Wait.
Huh?
Why did you choose this house to come to? This house of all others.
Can't you guess?
Yes, I think so. How did you know Judy's name? And about the color of her hair?
Ah, you're getting warm.
My husband, Harry. Harry told you.
Ah, well, you know you're pretty smart.
Oh, please, don't you have any pity at all. Tell me what you did to Harry.
He's not hurt much. I just tapped him on the head. He picked me up on the road, gave me a lift. I pumped him, found out all about this house and about you and Judy. Then I knocked him out and kept going. It was pretty tough driving with one hand, but I made it.
Where's Harry now?
In the back of the car. He can't get loose.
I'm going out to...
Stay where you are.
But Harry's hurt. I can't leave him out there alone.
About this little red-headed kid of yours, where did she sleep? Upstairs?
You wouldn't hurt her.
You better stay here if you want to make sure.
Oh, no.
That's better. Now, suppose we have something to eat.
How do you do, everyone? This is Bill Hay. For many years, Campbell's soups have been a familiar sight on kitchen shelves. Recently, a comparatively new soup, Campbell's Cream of Mushroom, has appeared on thousands of them. This soup has such a delicious, out-of-the-ordinary taste that once a family try it, they usually vote it a place among their regular standbys. People who know and love mushrooms have taken keenly to Campbell's Cream of Mushroom. Those who had never tasted mushrooms in any form are just as enthusiastic. Even the smooth, rich look of its creamy surface tempts their appetite. And they find its flavor so delightful that they soon put Campbell's cream of mushroom among the dishes they like best. It's a blending of fresh, sweet cream, heavier even than whipping cream, and young, cultivated mushrooms. Mushroom flavor fills every spoonful. Mushroom slices abound all through. Why not try Campbell's cream of mushroom soup tomorrow?
Now let's return to the little white shingled house on the hill where Ethel Canning is entertaining her uninvited guest, Arnie Bishop. You know, he's a pretty courageous guy for an ex-convict. But then maybe he has the courage of his convictions. But Arnie isn't so smart, you know, tangling with a red-headed gal. He ought to recall that old ditty. How's it go? Beware of a girl with deep red hair. A man is safer in the electric chair. But who can tell how a tale will end on Inner Sanctum? Let's join them in the kitchen.
Well, excellent bacon and eggs. I'm sure my friends will like cooking when they come.
More coffee?
Yes, please. Careful.
Oh, I was only reaching for the coffee cup.
I thought you might have ideas about grabbing this.
There's your coffee.
What time is it?
2:40.
Uh-huh. 3.5 hours to go before my friends get here.
How will they get through the roadblock?
Oh, you'll leave it to that.
Oh.
What's that?
That's the telephone. It's in the living room.
You better get to it. Oh, you don't let go of that gun.
Oh!
You shouldn't have tried that.
What are you going to do?
Answer that telephone first. Get going. Yeah. Anybody in the habit of calling you at this hour?
No.
All right, answer it. But be careful what you say.
Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Canning. Oh. It's for you.
Oh. All right. Lay the receiver down on the table and walk away. All right, that's far enough. Don't try anything. Hello? Linda? What, did you get started yet? Oh, where are you? What? Roadblocks. Well, you've got to get through. I need Doc Stetson. You've got to make it, Linda. I can't stay awake forever. All right. Do your best. Call me back later. Oh.
What's the matter, Mr. Bishop? Are your friends falling down on you?
Shut up. I've got to think.
Oh, you don't have anything to worry about, Mr. Bishop. Aren't you a guest of the Cannings in the little white shingled house a mile off Highway 26 north of Accord?
Oh, you can be sarcastic, too.
Oh, I wouldn't dare be sarcastic to you, Mr. Bishop. Especially when you have that gun. And with my husband unconscious in the car, and you threatening to harm my child, oh, no. No, you still hold all the cards, Mr. Bishop, and you're such a big, strong, brave man.
What are you trying to do? Get me mad enough to kill you?
Aren't you going to kill me anyway?
What makes you think that?
Because you're a killer by instinct, Mr. Bishop. It's easier for you to kill than to do anything else. I wonder why you didn't murder my husband instead of just knocking him out. Was it because you thought you might need him?
Well, you're not afraid of me anymore.
No, I'm not. No, I just realized. I can't afford to be afraid.
What?
I'm a woman fighting for her family, for Harry and Judy. And I've got to use all my wits against you. I can't afford to be afraid.
You've got some scheme in that crazy little brain of yours.
Yes, Mr. Bishop, I have. I think I've found the chink in your armor. You're a coward.
Me?
Yes, you. You're the one who's afraid now. Your friends aren't coming. You have a wound in your arm that needs treatment, and you know you can't trust me. You don't dare close your eyes, even for 5 minutes. And you may have to stay here for several days. How do you like the prospect of staying awake night and day, watching me every minute of the time, afraid that you might drop off to sleep at any minute?
Oh, that's how you figure it, huh?
Maybe you better kill us all right now, Mr. Bishop. That would be easy, wouldn't it? Just 3 bullets. Then you wouldn't have to worry about watching anyone.
That's an excellent idea, Mrs. Canning.
Yes. But then you'd have other worse things to worry about.
Such as?
This is Saturday morning. The milkman will come to collect for the week's milk. The neighbors will stop by to ask if I want my marketing done. And what will you do? Skulk in the cellar while they ring the doorbell?
Yeah.
And then there's the police.
What about the police?
They'll surely search this part of the country. They'll be making inquiries at all the houses. Do you want them to find the car outside? With Harry in it?
Oh. You figured all the angles, huh? You know, you're pretty smart, Mrs. Canny. I think you're even smarter than Linda. But you forget one thing.
Yes?
You forget that little girl upstairs.
What do you mean?
Come along and I'll show you. Upstairs.
You stay away from Judy. Oh!
Maybe you think you've got everything figured out, but I'm still the boss. Gun muscle hurts, doesn't it? Now, shall we go upstairs? That's better. So you think Arnie Bishop is licked, huh? Which is Judy's room?
What are you going to do to her?
Which is Judy's room? Or are you going to make me open all the doors to find her?
No. That one.
All right, let's go in. For you first, Mrs. Canny.
I warn you, if you hurt
you... You first, Mrs. Canny.
Please. Please don't wake her.
Very pretty child. How peaceful she looks. And innocent. Ain't all childhood's the best time of life? It's almost a pity to grow up out of it.
You couldn't hurt her.
Oh, I assure you, Mrs. Canning, I won't lay a hand on her. Oh, no, not on a beautiful child like that.
No.
But, I've got to protect myself. Well, let's see. That's the connecting door to your room, isn't it?
Yes.
There's a key in the door. Lock it, please. Now, give me the key. Thank you. Now, we'll go out the way we came in. I'll take the key out of this door, too. Thanks. You first. Now, we'll lock this door on the outside. There you are. Everything's set.
You just want to make sure she doesn't get out?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah?
Now, will you pull the mattress and sheets off your bed and bring them out here, please?
Are you going to sleep in front of her door?
Do as I say.
All right.
I'll help you.
I don't understand. Why do you want to sleep out here?
Norm. Everything just the way I want it. The mattress against Judy's door.
But you can't sleep on it that way, half up against the door.
I didn't say I was going to sleep on it.
Oh, what are you going to do?
Mrs. Canning, we'll see if you can figure out how to beat this angle.
What do you mean?
What would happen if I were to put a match to this mattress and bedding?
Oh, no!
This whole floor would be in flames in 5 minutes. With both doors locked, Judy wouldn't have much of a chance, would
she? Oh, no!
Still think Arnie Bishop is licked, Mrs. Canning?
Oh, no.
You're right about one thing, Mrs. Canning. I am in a corner. With this bum arm, I've got no chance of running if the police come. So if they do, and if I'm cornered, I'll set a match to this mattress and fight them off till the whole house is just a bunch of rubble with Judy in it.
Oh, no.
You, understand me thoroughly, Mrs. Canning.
Yes.
So it's up to you to see that the police don't come. You're going to lie for me, Mrs. Canning, and you're going to cheat for me, and you're going to kill for me if necessary, because I always have a match ready. Now, do you still feel like trying any tricks?
I'll do whatever you say.
More like it. Now, the first thing you're to do, go downstairs and run that car into the garage. Get it out of the way. But don't touch your husband. Don't even look in the back of the car. I'll be watching. Understand?
Yes.
Ah, glad we understand each other at last. Let's go.
Mrs.
standing right here in the driveway, so don't try any tricks.
I won't.
Remember, I'm watching.
Harry. Harry, dear, can you hear me? Harry? Harry? Oh, he's still unconscious. There's blood on his head.
Mrs. Kenny.
Yes, I'm coming.
You did take a look at him, didn't you?
No, no.
All right.
No.
All right, come inside. Beautiful night, isn't it?
It'll be morning soon.
What time is it?
Almost six. The milkman should be here soon.
Oh? Well, here's where you start lying for me. After you, madam. Now, I'm going to sit right here in this chair, with my hand in my pocket. And in my hand's the gun. Understand?
Yes. There, that's the milkman.
You'll tell him I'm your cousin, just visiting here for a few days.
He'll wonder why you're up so early.
Let him wonder. Go on, answer me.
Good morning, Mrs. Canning. I'm the new milkman on the route. Hope I didn't wake you up.
Come in, please.
That's two bottles of milk you wanted this morning and a bottle of cream.
Here, you can put them on the table there.
All right.
Oh, this is my cousin. He's visiting us for a few days.
Oh, how are you?
Hello.
Do you have my bill?
Yeah, I got it right here in my pocket. Here.
Hey, that...
That's right, Bishop. It's a gun. Sit still and take your hand out of your pocket very carefully.
Okay, okay. You win. But how come a milkman with a gun?
I borrowed this coat from the regular milkman. I'm Sergeant Wright, State Police.
What?
Thank heaven.
State Police? How did you know I was here?
Mrs. Canning told us.
She? Well, how? I didn't let her out of my sight.
She broadcast it to us.
Broadcast?
Yes. Over this set, Mr. Bishop. Yeah. Remember the speech I made you? You didn't know what had come over me. I was really talking to the State Police over the shortwave. Don't you remember I told you that this was a sending and receiving set, that my husband built it? And when I turned off the shortwave signals, I turned the switch to sending. And then I just hoped my message would get through.
I didn't think you were smart enough. And I thought I had you scared stiff. You looked like the kind who would scare easy.
Oh, I am, Mr. Bishop, I am. But I warned you. This was a time when I couldn't afford to be scared.
All goes to prove that a determined man can always get what he goes after. You remember Bishop tried to get free board and lodging from Ethel Canning. He finally got it, all right, but not exactly where he wanted it. You know, as a matter of fact, Bishop was the type of man who should never have gone in for murder. Oh, too many risks. He should have specialized in arson. That's always a surefire undertaking.
Closing the door on Inner Sanctum, tonight's performance in the Mystery Playhouse. It's late, Creep, so good night. Sleep tight.
In listening to that, you might have noticed the creaking door at the beginning and end of the show. That's the creaking door that inspired our own creaking door on the Jack-O-Lantern Press podcast. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to that, and hope it inspires you to check out other Inner Sanctum radio dramas. You can certainly find more episodes on YouTube and pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts. I also really hope that listening to this gets you to look into other old-time radio shows, as radio dramas like these are really a cool way to experience stories. Going forward, I'm not sure how many of these radio dramas will play here on the Jack-O-Lantern Press podcast, but if you like them, Let us know by calling us, emailing us, or messaging us on social media, and perhaps we'll continue doing it. But that's going to do it for this episode of the show. For more about the Monster Universe and the Monster Revolution that's upon us, go to jackolanternpress.com. There you'll also find our book, Transylvania Traveler, which is a humorous travel guide to and through the Monster Universe. Those looking to tell us what's on your mind, call our pumpkin hotline and leave a message with any questions, suggestions, or your impressions of the show at 323-761-0276. And if you enjoy the show, please give us a rating and a review. It's a big help for the podcast, and we would greatly appreciate it. Now to take us out, we usually like to play a clip from a Halloween Sounds album that Tom and I had as kids. Tonight, however, in honor of this episode, we're going to play a clip from another radio show we listened to in the Radio Reruns cassette tape collection. We might even play it in its entirety in a later show, but from the series The Shadow, originally aired on April 3rd, 1938, here is the opening of Death from the Deep. As always, thanks for joining us this evening, and we'll meet up again soon in the Pumpkin Patch.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost. As inevitable as a guilty conscience. The Shadow's true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, Death from the Deep.